Hi everyone, my name is Eugenia Chow and I run the Instagram account Ugrenia. The Everyday Activist podcast is founded under the belief that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to activism and anyone can get involved. Kate, also known as BYO Bottle SG on Instagram, is an 18-year-old student and climate activist based in Singapore. In 2018, she began a campaign to encourage people to bring their own bottles instead of using plastic cups. Since then, she has been involved with spearheading several other environmental initiatives. Through running her activism account, speaking at conferences, and leading environmental campaigns, she hopes to make climate action more accessible to everyone. In this episode, we discuss the intersection between climate and social justice, the process of launching a youth-driven environmental campaign, common misconceptions when it comes to environmentalism, and digital activism during a global pandemic. Hi, Kate, and welcome to this episode of the Everyday Activist podcast. It's such an honor to have you here.
I'm so excited. This is my first podcast.
That's so exciting. Could you kick us off by telling us a bit about yourself and how you started your sustainability / environmental journey?
Yeah, sure. So, hi, I'm Kate. I'm 18 this year. And on Instagram, I run an activism account called BYO Bottle SG. So this stands for Bring Your Own Bottle. And it's a campaign that I started in 2018 in Singapore to get people to bring their own bottles when they go out to buy drinks instead of using a plastic cup. And since then, I've kind of been branching out into climate justice activism as well. So not just campaigning against plastic and waste issues, but also really talking about climate issues and social justice issues. And doing that through ReEarth Initiative, which is an international youth-led NGO. And what we do is we work with schools and organizations, host webinars, write toolkits, and basically making climate action more accessible to everyone. And yeah, I've been busy with a lot of all these activism activities, even in COVID-19. A lot of it is actually digital because the nature of climate change is just so international. So it's been a really fun time.
So what kickstarted your journey and inspired you to begin BYO Bottle in the first place?
Well, in Singapore in 2018, that was when the straw-free movement kind of started picking up here. And I would see a lot of my friends buy and use a metal straw, but it would be like in a plastic cup, in a plastic bag with a lid and all that. And then they would be posting on Instagram, oh, hashtag eco-friendly. And I just felt like we could go one step further and cut down on single-use cups as well. So that was kind of what started it all. And I think once you start, you just keep going because the scale of environmental issues is just so huge now.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk a bit about the process of beginning this initiative? Like, how did you recruit people to join your team? How did you approach different restaurants and shops to confront them about this issue?
Okay. So what I did at first was basically blast out emails to people. I would write to all the F&B companies I knew and ask, can you support the BYO movement? Could you implement a discount if people bring their own bottles? And I think in total, I sent out like at least 200 to 300 emails to all the beverage companies. And of that, I got about 6 replies. And 3 of those were actually rejections. So I started out with only 3 companies who are willing to kind of entertain my request and speak to me about it. And I think slowly over time, the campaign just gained traction. And I was also trying to do public outreach through community events and speaking at schools. So it's been about 2 to 3 years now. And the campaign has definitely grown quite a bit. We've had over 20 to 30 drink companies opening up their stores to BYO, and some of them have even implemented discounts.
That's so good to hear. I know that there are quite a few other youth-led initiatives as well in Singapore. Mm-hmm. For example, Bye Bye Plastic Bag Singapore. Have you ever collaborated with different groups in the area to sort of achieve the same goal or similar goals?
Yeah, definitely. Bye Bye Plastic Bags Singapore is one of my favorite initiatives. They have done such amazing work here. So I've been to a couple of the beach cleanups, which they used to hold, I think, every month. But of course, now with the whole lockdown situation, they've had to postpone it. But yeah, they do beach cleanups, and that means community engagement. There's also a ton of different organizations already working in Singapore. Like, we have a group called Zero Waste SG, and they have done such incredible work in campaigning against plastic bags here. So yeah, I've kind of just been helping out and collaborating with them. Sometimes even like a simple repost on social media goes a long way. So I try and help whoever I can.
Mm-hmm. So has BYO Bottle always been a one person thing, or do you have a team that works with you that like supports the movement as well?
So I started out as one person, and I think along the way I've had like ad hoc volunteers, but it's mostly been a one person effort just because I feel it's easier to coordinate, and also I'm not really sure what scope there is for other people to contribute. But that being said, I've always made it a point to people to write to businesses if they can. Like, even just as a consumer, you have so much power. So I often encourage people to use like email templates and reach out to their favorite businesses. So in a sense, like, all these people have been contributing to the movement as well.
Mm-hmm. So before BYO Bottle, since this is a relatively recent project, were you previously involved with other environmental campaigns, perhaps at school or in your community?
So the crazy thing is, I think before 2018, I was really just a normal person, and I didn't really care much about the environment. I think even in school, we had like all these inspiring people campaigning for green issues, but I was never really into that. And what really changed that was when I attended this event called Earth Fest in Singapore. So it's our largest sustainability festival that happens every year. And a friend happened to invite me one year, so I kind of just went. And I honestly went just because I wanted to have a good time with my friend, and there was good food. But when I was there, I saw like so many people advocating for the environmental cause. And I think that really sparked an interest in me, because it really made me question, like, why do people care so much? So yeah, from that day, I went home and I did some basic research about environmental issues, which sounds very trivial, but I think I just never bothered to do it before. And once you start learning about it, there's really no turning back.
Yeah, for sure. So how long was the interval between you learning about these issues and kickstarting your own initiative?
So that was in January or February, I think. And then after Earth Fest, I made some changes in my own lifestyle, like cutting out plastic, going vegetarian and all that. And then I think I kind of reached a point after a few months where I was like, okay, I'm not using plastic, but everyone around me still is. And so I can't just let it stop at myself. And I think within a month, I decided to start BYO Bottle SG. So the total interval was maybe 3 to 4 months.
Okay. So are you generally surrounded by friends and family, and I guess just people around you that are also very passionate about these issues? Or do you find yourself in situations where you're mostly the one having to speak out about, say, people using single-use plastic or various issues that surround climate change or climate justice?
I think I'm really fortunate in the sense that a lot of my friends are open-minded. So even if they don't feel so strongly about it, they will still take the time to engage with me and like have conversations with me about why it's so important. So in that sense, they've been incredibly supportive. I've had friends who also started bringing their own bottle after they learned about my campaign. So that was really nice to see. But I think climate justice as a whole is still a topic that not many people in Singapore know about. The focus has always been on waste here. So right now, I think the climate activists in Singapore have been trying to shift the conversation to larger and more crucial issues like fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was looking through your Instagram account, and you mentioned earlier that your focus before, I say, was more focused on individual change, and I guess individuals taking action to make amendments in their own lifestyles to tackle climate change. Was there ever a turning point where you realized that climate change is, I guess, a grander problem, and that people should be tackling like systemic issues and talking about climate justice and all these other larger issues that surround the problem.
Yeah, definitely. So I honestly can't remember whether there was like a one eureka moment or like a turning point, but I think gradually as I was campaigning against plastics, I realized that there are so many larger issues and that they're all really interconnected. Like plastic is also one of the contributors to climate change. It's not just about like marine pollution or waste management. So I guess that's when it kind of like really got me thinking about how to use my platform for a greater purpose. I think it took me about 1 year to even reach that stage, just because I was so focused on individual action at the start. But Singapore also launched like the Year of Climate Action in 2018. So I think that was helpful for my learning as well.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is your main source of information currently when it comes to learning about climate justice and other related issues?
I guess reading a lot of books. Naomi Klein's books are absolutely amazing. I've learned so much from them. Also watching TED Talks. Instagram has been a great resource as well, because there's so many amazing climate activists on Instagram sharing resources. So yeah, I guess like all these different online resources. Locally, there honestly isn't that much that I know of. There are accounts like SG Climate Rally or The Weird and Wild, and these are some of the main activists in Singapore. Yeah, and they're doing incredible work as well. So I guess that's where I get most of my information from locally.
And then I get information from your account as well, which is really helpful.
Yeah.
I was just reading your one on race, actually, and I was wondering what the process is for you to create one of these posts, because obviously it takes a lot of time to do the research, write it out, make the graphics, and have everything organized. So how long would it usually take you to create one of these? And yeah, what's the process for that?
That's a really good question. I think sometimes people underestimate how much work goes into it.
Yeah, for sure.
For me, I can take like 1 to 2 days for each post. Mm-hmm. And like by that, I mean really just sitting at my computer and reading up for the entire day. So how I start is when I find out about a new issue or I find that something needs to be highlighted, I will kind of do like a mind map in my, I have like a concept book where I just brainstorm everything. Mm-hmm. So I'll draw all the different points I want to make. And then from there, I'll start doing research, usually in like a Google document. So that's the tricky part, because once I read one article, I kind of just go down this rabbit hole and then start reading like 10,000 other tabs. Yeah, so that's where it usually takes the most time. And I also want to make sure that my information is not only accurate, but also like intersectional, it's sensitive to different groups. Mm-hmm. And then I try and put it into local context as well, which can be difficult. So yeah, and then from there, I move all the information onto Canva, which is where I do most of my graphics. And yeah, the whole thing usually takes like maybe 12 to 24 hours in total.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like people probably don't recognize how much time goes into creating those posts as well.
Yeah, and even like writing a caption can be so difficult to me.
Yeah, so do you ever suffer from burnout from having to constantly, well, not having to, but like constantly producing this kind of content and I guess being highly engaged with this space? Because I'm sure it is very draining, both emotionally and just in every way possible.
Yeah, burnout is something that I feel a lot of us have to deal with. Mm-hmm. So for me, I always take time away from social media. Like, I usually log out of my accounts in the evenings or like just to really take time for myself. And also, for example, last year when I had my A-levels, which is the national exams here, I didn't touch my account for like 3 months just because I really had to get my shit together and study. So I guess like at different stages of my life, I have to deal with all these different priorities. And in terms of burnout, I guess the most important thing is really disconnecting when you have to. Like, I have a personal motto, which is sustainable fight for a sustainable planet. Mm-hmm. And that basically means like I feel it's better to be disconnected in the short term, like take a few days off if you need it, as compared to getting burnt out and then disengaging with the issue forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a really good way to frame it. And it's nice that you have such a healthy relationship with your social media as well.
Yeah.
So could you tell us more about your involvement with different initiatives that you mentioned earlier? So for example, the ReEarth organization and also Back to Basics Singapore.
Awesome. Okay. So ReEarth Initiative, we started out as an Earth Day campaign, and we wanted to get people to make climate pledges, one individual pledge and one systemic pledge. And I think after Earth Day was over, we realized that we had gained a lot of traction. And we wanted to like go one step further. So now we've rebranded as an organization. And every 2 weeks, we work on a new theme. So I think we've just completed plastic, and the week before that was water. And we also write toolkits to explain to people what the issue is and what they can do about it. There's also like weekly webinars and collaborations with different groups and all that. So that's what ReEarth Initiative does. And it's like a huge team. We have over 300 volunteers from 40 to 50 countries. So it's very diverse, international, which is what the climate movement should be. And I think one other inspiration from ReEarth Initiative is that not everybody can take part in a climate protest. In the US, it's like a huge thing, but here in Singapore, you could get arrested for holding a sign in public. And that was something that ReEarth Initiative wanted to recognize as well, knowing that there are so many youth around the world who want to contribute to the climate movement, but they can't participate in protests, so they may be like confused at how else they can contribute. So that's where our toolkits come in, to tell people that there are other ways that you can contribute to this movement. Yeah, so that's ReEarth Initiative, a really amazing family. I love them. And then Back to Basics Singapore it's more of a community group. And what we do is we provide groceries to our beneficiaries every month. And we also try and empower them to lead better and more fulfilled lives. So for example, connecting them with social service agencies in Singapore, or helping them with job reskilling and upgrading. And yeah. So I kind of only joined the team this year, but they've been around for a really long time, doing really great work here as well, basically about alleviating poverty in Singapore.
Mm-hmm. So going back to what you said about ReEarth organization, is it a team mostly built with youth?
Yeah, so ReEarth Initiative is completely youth-led. The core team, there's about 14 of us, I think. We are all... I think the age range is like 16 to 23, kind of around there. Yeah, and our volunteers are all youth as well.
So how did you get involved with that? Were you one of the founding members, or did you join as a volunteer afterwards?
Okay, that part's a bit confusing. I wasn't the one who came up with the idea, but I was in the organizing team. And we all connected through social media, like in March this year, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. Also, because you mentioned how in Singapore, you can't always go to the streets to protest and be in activism in that sense, mm-hmm. which actually lends to my next question, which is, what does being an activist mean to you?
Okay. That's kind of a hard one, but I would say being an activist really just means campaigning for a cause that you believe in. And that's actually more difficult than it seems, because maybe this is like an Asian culture, but we've always kind of just been taught to take the middle ground and not to take like a firm stance in something. But being an activist means you have to make a point and then you have to justify it. So let's say in climate change, our stance is that fossil fuels have to go. And then that's something that we have to defend. Another thing about being an activist, I feel, is also connecting with people on the ground. And that means not letting your actions stop at social media. Mm-hmm. So digital activism has grown a lot. But I also feel that if you want to push your cause, you really have to reach out to the masses. And that means organizing community events, doing like public outreach, really talking to people around you and not just on social media.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk a bit more about your speaking engagements and community engagements recently?
Okay, so remember how I said at the start of this episode that my interest in the environment sparked when I attended EarthFest, and that was in 2018?
Yes.
And then I started the BYO bottle campaign. And then in 2019, I was actually invited to speak at EarthFest and have my own booth.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was really awesome to like...
Yeah, that's amazing.
That learning curve, I guess. And since then, I started getting invited to other community events. So in Singapore, we're split into like different neighborhoods. And then each one like organizes their own events. So for example, for Earth Day, I was invited to one to speak to the people there. And there's also like school engagements. Even in my own school, I got the chance to speak to the entire cohort. In total, that's about 1,300 people, maybe. Yeah, so usually people will like write to me asking if I can share about my campaign. And then I'm always more than willing to, because I love talking to new people. Yeah, so those are like all my speaking engagements.
Uh-huh. Do you feel like the audience, I guess the audience have been very different, but do you think they're generally quite receptive to the message, or is it something that's still quite new to them?
Okay. I think I always cater my talks based on the audience. So for example, if I'm speaking at a general community event, I'll definitely like scale it back a bit, just because those are people who may not be as well versed with environmental issues. So I'll kind of go at the fundamentals in terms of like individual action and what they can do. But if I'm speaking to, for example, a school or like a green club where people are already engaged with environmental issues, then I always shift the focus to systemic action and what they can do. I think in general, people are receptive,
mm-hmm.
just because I'm still kind of young, and that gives me an advantage in terms of reaching out to people. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I can't say for sure if it's been effective, but I hope it has been.
Uh-huh. No, yeah, I'm sure it has. Also because I guess the shift from individual to systemic action is sort of still in the works, or still taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever received backlash for being controversial or seemingly radical?
Yeah, definitely. Especially in Singapore. So oil and gas actually forms a huge part of our economy and our workforce. So when activists come out and say, we don't support fossil fuels, we need to transition to clean energy, then people kind of get defensive and then kind of tell us, oh, I've heard this before, like you should just become an economist before you speak on such issues. So I think for me at the start especially, that was difficult to deal with. But activism means putting yourself out there and really explaining why you believe in something so strongly. So yeah, backlash is normal. As long as you can justify your cause, I feel like it's just something you have to learn to deal with.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are some common misconceptions when it comes to climate activism or being a climate activist?
I guess like something you said just now about us being too radical, that's something that I've heard a lot. And I know to a common person, like sometimes what climate justice is may seem very radical, but to me, it's really fighting for like a livable future, fighting for clean air and clean water. These shouldn't be seen as radical because they're really like basic necessities and basic living human rights. So yeah, to me, we seem radical, but we're really just fighting for basic things for people. Another misconception I feel people have is that climate activism is just protesting or it's just putting a post on social media. That is actually undermining a lot of the work that we do in terms of reaching out to new people, reaching out to the masses. There's a lot of organizing work that goes just into one event. There's also a lot of behind the scenes work, like speaking to businesses or even politicians in some countries. So yeah, it really doesn't just stop at going out to the streets with a sign in your hands. It's not just putting a post on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are three qualities or more that you find the most valuable in any advocacy work?
I feel that one really important trait any advocate or activist should have is resilience, because along the way, you're going to get a lot of people who don't believe in what you're doing. You'll get a lot of backlash, and you kind of need to have that bit of courage or even stubbornness to say that I believe in what I'm doing and I'm going to keep fighting for what I believe in. So yeah, the first part is about being resilient, especially when you get hate. That can be pretty uncalled for sometimes. Another thing I feel is actually about being open-minded as well. Because in my journey, since 2 years ago, I've had to unlearn a lot of things and learn a lot of new things. Unlearning a lot of old mindsets, especially. That takes being open-minded and being willing to listen to other people. And that's something that's really pertinent now, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement growing.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to take the time to listen to the vulnerable communities, whether that's people of color or Indigenous communities. Take the time to listen to what they say, learn from them. And I think that's where being open-minded comes in. And I think thirdly, it's kind of about knowing your limits and being able to draw boundaries. So like what I said, sustainable fight for a sustainable planet. An activist is, it can be so draining, and you need to know when enough is enough, take a step back and then come back to it again when you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think those are all very important qualities, not only in advocacy work, but just life in general.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so important. So where do you see yourself or hope to see yourself in maybe 5 years with regards to the environmental movement? And perhaps what's your vision for the future?
Okay, this is a really tough one. It's very relevant to me because I'm heading to college this year. Mm-hmm. And I've had to decide my major because that is quite relevant to my career as well. So I feel like I may end up going into corporate sustainability, like in a MNC or in a company, trying to basically make their practices a bit more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I'm not sure. That's career-wise. And then in terms of climate activism, I'm really hoping to work on Re-Earth Initiative and push it out to the general public, and not just people who are already aware of environmental issues. So yeah, really reaching out to the masses. Hopefully after the whole lockdown situation eases a bit, we can go back to doing speaking engagements or even doing it online. So that's something that I've been trying to work on. Also getting more companies in Singapore to support BYO. That's still an ongoing thing for me. I think in like the long term, personally, something I've always wanted to do is to improve waste management systems around Southeast Asia, because that's where a lot of the plastic waste comes from. But I don't have like a concrete plan for that. That's just kind of a fuzzy ambition I have in my head. And then I'll see in a few years, like if there's an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to attend university in Singapore or overseas?
I've actually committed to a college in the US,
mm-hmm.
but because of COVID, I'm not really sure how that will work out. Like, I'm not sure if it's safe to fly there now, or getting my student visa could be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. It's either Singapore or US.
Okay, I see. And you plan to go back to Singapore in the future and pursue an occupation there?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm a Singapore citizen. My heart is always here.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to do like a bit of traveling to visit communities around Southeast Asia, because a lot of it is still developing and I want to be able to contribute to that process.
Mm-hmm. So now that most things are done online, what advice would you have for someone who wants to participate in climate activism digitally?
Okay. I love this question. So there's like digital strikes still happening every week. You can follow fff.digital on Instagram, or Polluters Out is doing some amazing work as well. I think putting a sign on Instagram is a great way of doing outreach to your followers or like your social circle. If you want to go one step further, there is still space or opportunity to write to businesses that you think can be improved. I think people sometimes estimate the impact of that. But recently, so H&M posted something about being the number one transparent fashion brand in the world.
Yeah.
And they got so much backlash on that on Instagram, and they had to take the post down. So I think that is one very concrete example of how online action can push a brand to reconsider their practices as well. Even like leaving a comment on the Instagram, DMing them or emailing them, those are all online things that you can do to participate in the environmental movement. Also participating in webinars, learning is still like a very important part of activism work. So yeah, those are all different avenues you can contribute.
Do you have any suggestions for where to find these webinars or any particular webinar host or guest that you would suggest?
Okay, that's a tough one. I know Fridays for Future does like a Talks for Future thing every Friday. ReEarth Initiative, we do thematic webinars every 2 weeks. I think finding local ones in your region is also really helpful, especially now with the whole COVID situation. Green recovery is a topic that's covered in a lot of webinars, and that's something that's very specific to your own country or city. So explore like different events happening in your region.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, what advice would you give to aspiring activists in general who want to get more involved with the climate movement? Are there any particular resources you would recommend? And yeah, just general advice for someone who wants to become more engaged with these issues.
Great. So I think the first place to start is always getting educated. Again, Naomi Klein, read her books. They are amazing, and they offer tangible solutions to the climate crisis. The other thing you can do is listen to different podcasts, watch different TED Talks. Those are always a very helpful and engaging place to start. Follow Instagram accounts, not just the international ones, but also the ones in your region, because they will be posting about issues that are very relevant to you. So if you're listening from Singapore, I'm just going to throw in a few of my favorite accounts. Tiyun, who runs The Weird and Wild, there's Tammy, Lil Earth Girl, SG Climate Rally, WWF SG, and... okay, there's honestly quite a lot. You can scroll through my following on Instagram. Yeah, that's a very helpful place to start. And I think my advice to a lot of youth activists out there is also not to underestimate the impact that you can create. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have like 30, 50K followers to be able to make an impact. Like even just talking to one person about climate change, and that one person talks to another person, that's the power of the ripple effect, and it really has a lot of potential to drive change in our society. So don't look at, like, for example, your Instagram followers as a way of measuring your impact. It really isn't. Like there's so much more that you are doing that you may not be able to see, but you need to understand that change is happening because of you. And like when I started BYO Bottle SG, I sent out hundreds of emails and I got 6 replies. But it just takes time for something to grow and gain momentum. So be patient, give it time. And again, always maintain a healthy relationship with your activism. You have to make it sustainable for yourself if you want to be in it in the long term.
Wow, that's all really good advice. And it's, yeah, thank you so much. It's been really inspiring learning about your story and how you've been involved with this, especially at such a young age. And I really hope and I know that you'll serve as an inspiration for other people as well who will hopefully listen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the second episode of the Everyday Activist podcast. If you enjoyed it, please be sure to rate and review the show, because that makes a huge difference in helping me get the word of the podcast out. Also, don't forget to subscribe and stay tuned for upcoming episodes. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next Monday.